You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Well, Rafael Nadal, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, some of the biggest names in tennis, well, they are not at this year's U.S. Open. So 5 days in, who are the favorites? And why are so many of the players going unvaccinated? After all, fans have to show proof of at least one shot in order to get in and watch it. Well, joining us to talk about all things U.S. Open and more is John Wertheim, executive editor and senior writer at Sports Illustrated, also a contributing correspondent for 60 Minutes. He's also the author of the new book, Glory Days, the Summer of 1984 and the 90 Days That Changed Sports and Culture Forever. He's right now covering the U.S. Open for the Tennis Channel from Los Angeles. John, it's great to have you back on Bloomberg Business Week Radio. I think the big difference this year that I want to ask you about, among many other things, is that you're not actually covering it from New York. You're not at the U.S. Open this year. You're in L.A. How's that going?
It's a little strange. I'll be back for the end, perhaps to see Novak Djokovic pull off this Grand Slam. But this is kind of the new way of the world. And I think, I think we're all kind of wondering what life is going to be like post-COVID and whether we all go back to offices, telecommute, and certainly media and sports media is no different.
Well, I've been to the U.S. Open a few times. It's one of my favorite events to go to each and every year as a New Yorker. But of course, I haven't been for the last couple of years. Take us into what exactly is happening for fans right now, because it is at 100% capacity for fans. Masks are optional. And although fans have to get vaccinated or at least show proof of getting one vaccine, many of the players are not vaccinated.
And that's been an interesting, it's sort of laid bare tennis and governance. And as far as the fan experience, it's been great. This is all complying with New York protocol, but last year there were no fans. This year, full boat. It's interesting when the roofs close and this turns into an indoor event, the masks come out. But, so far from all accounts, this feels like a normal U.S. Open. Go ahead.
Why, John, do you think so many of the players are going unvaccinated? And this has been a story. This is not just about the U.S. Open. This has been throughout the return to tennis.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think some of this is a function of the workforce. It's global. People come from countries where they have different attitudes about vaccination. To me, it's terribly disappointing. It's baffling. If any athletes should be getting vaccinated, it's these tennis players who are on planes. They're traveling around the world.
Yeah.
Just from a standpoint of if you are vaccinated and someone you have contact with someone that tests positive and you are vaccinated, you're okay. If you're not vaccinated and have tracing contact with someone who tests positive, you're out of the tournament. So even for the most selfish professional reasons, even completely sort of abnegating your responsibility as a human being, just for strictly professional reasons, it's crazy not to. I've heard all sorts of explanations. Some of the players have had it already. Some of them think, well, what if I get the vaccine and my arm hurts so much I can't swing a racket? I think it's a lot of sort of misinformation and disinformation. I think it's a real insight into tennis players. And in an individual sport, we often talk about how you have to be selfish, and it's sort of you have to put yourself first. And in a weird way, this is an expression of it. I mean, there's no union. And in other team sports, you know, there's an employer, there's an employee, there's a union. You can you can mandate vaccines, or you can make it very difficult for the unvaccinated. Tennis, all these players are individual contractors. They make their own decisions. And as you said at the top, it's bizarre to me that hundreds of thousands of fans are going to come through the gates and they all need to show a card. And yet the athletes they have come to cheer, 50% of the time, they're unvaccinated. It's not a good look, and it's definitely a contradiction.
And, John, just quickly, from the players that you're talking to, I mean, what is the hesitation? Is it, like you mentioned, concerns about arm pain, or is there some kind of mistrust of the vaccine?
It really breaks down, and some of it is geographic. Some of it is the arm pain, which, you know, again, it's I'd rather have arm pain than get COVID.
Yeah.
Some of it is just, I mean, some of the players have had it already. There was, I mean, it's a sore spot in tennis, but, you know, Novak Djokovic in 2020 held an event where everybody was unmasked, and a lot of the players got COVID from that. You know, apparently they think they can't get it again. I mean, the other thing I've heard is, you know, one player said, I'm paraphrasing, but not by much, that he's young, he can handle it, and it might even be a good thing because it'll teach people of his generation persistence and overcoming adversity. So, wow. You know, I mean, the ATP, to their credit,
right.
They've tried to impress upon tennis players to get vaccinated, but it's, yeah, it's not great.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at QuickBooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Let's talk about who you're watching this year. I said that there were some big names that aren't there, not even playing. Nadal, Serena Williams, Venus Williams. Who are you watching?
I think we're watching sort of macro. This is we're getting glimpse into the post Federer, Serena, Nadal world. And what is this sport going to look like? Who are going to be the stars when the stars we've had for, you know, more than 20 years?
Yeah, decades. It's been a decades-long era.
It's been phenomenal. This is the first U.S. Open since 1996. So, you know, first term Clinton. since the mid-90s that we haven't had a Williams sister, Federer, Nadal in the draw. So this has been very different. But the big story is Novak Djokovic going for the Grand Slam. This is tennis's sort of holy grail. It's 400 hitter. Hasn't been done on the men's side since Rod Laver more than 50 years ago. And he won the the first three legs, and his first two matches here. So five matches away from this historic achievement.
Australian Open, French Open, Wimbledon, and of course the U.S. Open would make it a Grand Slam. Do you think he can pull it off?
I do, and I think that his approach is really fascinating. I mean, Serena Williams 6 years ago won the first three legs and was, you know, quite reasonably, understandably nervous, and I think a lot of the attention and the focus and the speculation really got to her. And Novak Djokovic is more than happy to talk about it, more than, you know, he sort of understands the challenge and has really leaned in, as we say. It's really sort of his approach has been very interesting, and he has, you know, five more rounds to go, and is not insignificant, but I think he gets it.
Okay, John, let's back up a little bit and say I am only very tangentially aware of tennis. Maybe I only know who Serena Williams is. Maybe that's all true. Why aren't we seeing the big stars come out and show up at the U.S. Open? What's going on there?
You mean the big culture stars or the big sort of tennis stars?
The big tennis stars.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, Serena Williams turns 40 in a few weeks. Roger Federer is 40 years old. Rafa Nadal is 35, but his body is probably considerably older. I mean, we've really sort of had this embarrassment of riches, and we've had these extended careers. So, you know, I mean, you name a player from the past. I mean, you know, Steffi Graf didn't win after she turned 30. John McEnroe didn't win a major after he turned 25.
Wow.
So the fact that these guys are still competitive, you know, 40 years of it's Tom Brady, it's LeBron James. I mean, this is the trend across sports, but time eventually wins, and right now it's winning with Serena, Federer, and Nadal.
Well, let's talk about that next generation that you referenced. Who specifically are you watching?
Well, I mean, I think sort of Djokovic is its own sort of subcategory, but I think a lot of young players are coming to the fore. One of them is out of the tournament already, but is a terrific player, is Coco Gauff, 17-year-old from Florida. Naomi Osaka is an intriguing figure in many ways. As we speak, there is an 18-year-old Spaniard, Carlos Alcaraz, trying to get to the third round. The last time an 18-year-old went this far, it was Pete Sampras. So that is a significant achievement for Alcaraz. I mean, I think Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Serena, those four players have commanded so much spotlight. There's something almost sort of, perversely refreshing about other players coming to the fore, just because those four stars have sort of hogged all the oxygen for 20 years, and now we're really getting to see how broad the cast really is.
It has been amazing in recent years to see some of those new players actually compete against people who they grew up watching, right? That just speaks to how long this old guard of tennis, or the current guard of tennis, has really been in there. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about 1984 and glory days, the summer of 1984, your book, The 90 Days That Changed Sports and Culture Forever, because there is a lot of mention of tennis. You mentioned John McEnroe already, but I want to talk specifically about Martina Navratilova and the rivalry that she had, and why 1984 was such a pivotal year and an important year for her.
Martina Navratilova, I think she's getting her due, but at the time did not get her due. And she was such a trailblazer. She's number one in the world, and she is openly gay. And she's talking about her trans coach, Renee Richards. And she's talking about why athletes don't use their platform to express their views on social causes. And why don't they train harder or even use data to scout opponents? And she was sort of, in a lot of cases, she was very much an outsider. She was, her foil was Chris Evert, who was sort of portrayed as the sweet and soft blonde Floridian, and Martina was a, sort of the harsh immigrant. And 1984, Martina Navratilova actually, she just dominated women's tennis, but she also really emerged as this cultural political force, and it was against considerable resistance. She didn't much care. And we talk about we talk about athletes that have aged well, and you look at what we expect of athletes now, physically, as social leaders in terms of fitness. We talk about where we are on LGBTQ issues. Martina Navratilova was really sort of remarkably ahead of her time, and she had a fair amount of backlash and resistance in 1984, but a true pioneer, a true trailblazer, and history has very much agreed with her.
And what about on the men's side? We just have about a minute and a half left, but you mentioned John McEnroe. And again, the reason you wrote a book that had to do with the summer of 1984 is because so much happened. I mean, we're talking McEnroe, we're talking Lendl, we're talking Bjorn Borg, Jimmy Connors. Take us through the rivalry that summer.
Yeah, this was sort of peak McEnroe that summer. And apart from the tennis itself, you had, you know, this small company called Nike was starting to make inroads, and we had more ways to watch all sports, tennis included, on this new cable network, ESPN, that more and more people were getting. This was really sort of a pivotal summer in terms of sports entering the realm of media and technology and really sort of turning the corner from passion and diversion into big business. And I also think this was really, in many ways, the peak of tennis in the U.S. I mean, tennis thrives as this global sport, but there aren't as many top American players as there were then. And, you know, in terms of tennis in America, I think 1984 may have, you know, sort of marked a high water point.
John Wertheim, we are going to have to leave it there. It is such a pleasure to speak with you. John Wertheim is executive editor and senior writer at Sports Illustrated, contributing correspondent for 60 Minutes. He's covering the U.S. Open for the Tennis Channel. He's also the author of what we were just talking about, Glory Days, the summer of 1984 and the 90 days that changed sports and culture forever.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.